ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet, and I'm Team Vire Sai's Bishu. Today is June 14th, 2018, the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning concluded in the weekend that just went by. So many beautiful speakers addressed the students, especially for the freshers. It was a lovely orientation into what this institute is all about and what they will get out of it and how they should approach all their activities while they are here, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. The master educator that Bhagwan is, Swami knows how to put us on the right path. And in fact, I remember in the days when Bhagwan was physically there, summer course would happen in the Vrindavan campus for all the students, and the students of the Prashanthi Nilayam as well as Vrindavan campus had to live in the same hostel. I'm talking about the boys, they have to live together. So the hostel, which generally would accommodate 300 students during the summer course, would have more than 600 students. So yes, it would be inconvenient, and it meant more adjustment, more sharing, being more accommodative and so on. But this is the first experience that Swami wanted all the boys to undergo, to get into that habit of sharing and caring. You join the institute and this is the first thing that welcomes you into. There is no other goal. That is what life is all about. And of course, there were such inspiring talks by elders, and many would be very eminent speakers who would have come from different parts of the country, people who are known, who are pioneers in their disciplines. And then the cherry on the cake could always be Bhagwan's discourse in the evening. So it was truly a 9-course meal for the body, mind and the spirit. In the last episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside, I began a series on the Vrindavan campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, because this institution celebrates 50 years of its existence in 2019, and we wanted to observe this entire year, 2018 till 2019 June, ruminating on how Swami continuously was training and transforming his students so subtly, so beautifully, sometimes covertly, sometimes overtly, but all the time so solidly. So we'll continue this series in the coming episodes about the Vrindavan campus. It is going to have very lovely, interesting panel discussions. For today, we go back to our series on Mrs. Ratanlal, the diamond of a devotee. In the last episode of when we were discussing about Mrs. Ratanlal, I shared with you how Swami made her a part of so many interesting incidents just so that she learns from them, she derives the lessons from them. And she did it so magnificently. There are a couple of more such instances that I've been able to gather. Mrs. Nagamani was the wife of the Prime Minister of Mysore State before India achieved its independence. And she visited Swami when Bhagwan was very young, just a young boy, perhaps in his teens. And she had complete faith in Bhagwan in those days itself. In fact, there's a very beautiful book that she has written, Nagamani Purnaya. It is the Divine Leelas of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. In fact, in the foreword to the book, she says, "I have availed myself of every opportunity of witnessing his divine powers." And that book has nearly 140 miracles that she has personally been witness. More of the 140, 115 was where she was physically there, and she rejoiced being there, being part of those instances. Later on, her husband became the chief commercial superintendent, Southern Railways, and the miracles she records are all related to the old Mandir days, you know, when Prashanthi Nilayam had the Patha Mandiram. Only in 1950, the Prashanthi Nilayam main Mandir came into being. And in that she narrates, "One day I saw Swami throwing something like a banana peel over the wall. And then Bhagwan went to her and asked for water to wash his hands. His hands were red with blood. And then Swami told her, "You had prayed to me to cure that man. So I operated upon him." So Bhagwan said this, and Mrs. Nagoni Purnaya that night could not sleep because she was so much filled with anxiety for that man who was suffering. Swami has operated on him, but you know, she thought how much pain that person would be, because in those days there was no anesthesia, and they used to give cocaine for anesthesia, and Swami did the operation without cocaine, and that person was perhaps in full consciousness. So she was very troubled with the thought of the pain that other person would have gone through as Bhagwan performed the operation. So she could not sleep that night, and at daybreak Swami called Mrs. Nagoni Purnaya to her and asked her to give that patient some surgical cotton. So Swami said, "Go and give the cotton at once." So she went in, and you know, she was hesitating to enter, and slowly she went, and to her surprise she found that the patient was eating a plate full of idlis and chutney, and Swami was standing behind Nagamani Purnaya. She didn't know that. And then suddenly Swami said, "This is not an operation by a doctor," Swami said. "I have done it. And because I have done it, there is no pain. There is no need of any rest. And there is no need of any special diet too." Swami said he can eat whatever he wants. And then there was a long mark on the stomach of that person, and there were no stitches. And Swami said, "The vibhuti I created and applied on his brow acted as an anesthetic. I created a trishul, a trident, and a knife for the operation." So Bhagwan did the operation with the trishul. His vibhuti was the anesthesia. And then Swami said, "After I finished the operation, I smeared vibhuti and that's it. All over. It was all over." So these are the instances that Mrs. Nagamani Purnaya was witness to. She narrates one more. On another day, four men came to Prashantinilayam with the intention of testing Swami. And when they reached Bukkapatnam, which is 3 miles away, they exchanged their wristwatches, and they thought to themselves that if Sai Baba finds out about this fact, then we will know who he is. You know, if he is anything divine. If he is God, then he should know that we have switched the wristwatches. So when these four people came to Prashantinilayam, Swami called them and Swami said, "I know why you have come and what you were talking on the way. I know one is wearing the watch of the other." And then Bhagwan said, "I know that you have come to test me, but this is a place for devotees, not for skeptics. You go back to where you have come from." So these are the kind of instances that Mrs. Nagamani Purnaya saw with her own eyes. You know, we are talking about the 40s and early 50s. And with time, she developed such an endearing relationship with Swami. She loved serving Swami. You know, she, like a mother figure, she used to serve. And she would arrange for warm water for Bhagwan to bathe. And Swami in those days used to travel a lot. And many times when Swami would be on the road and when he comes back, she would want Swami to have a nice bath. And she knew that Swami always preferred warm water, and she would keep that ready. In fact, on one occasion when she forgot to put on the geyser, Swami said, "What happened? Why did you forget to put on the geyser?" You know, she had overslept. So that was the kind of relationship that she had with Bhagwan. And with time, unfortunately, her husband passed away. He predeceased her, and he bequeathed her numerous properties. She gradually was disposing of these properties to survive. And in her later years, unfortunately again, she had a stroke and she was paralyzed. And this happened when summer course was going on in Vrindavan. And when that happened, Swami told Mrs. Nagamani Purnaya to come and stay with him in Vrindavan. Swami said, "I'll give you a room and I will ensure that the room has all the conveniences, you know, your bathroom and everything I will look after. We will ensure that your wheelchair can, you know, smoothly traverse. I will make all the arrangements and modifications in the room." And Swami specifically said, "I will ask Mrs. Ratnalal to look after you. She will arrange your food every day. So you come and stay in the ashram." Mrs. Nagamani Purnaya had 3 children, 2 sons and a daughter. One of the sons and one of the daughters were settled overseas. The second son was in India. And given that she had a large prime property in Bangalore, the son who was in India was very apprehensive, and in fact he was angry that Bhagwan was inviting his mother to come and stay in Vrindavan. He thought that perhaps Swami wants the property that is there in mother's name. Maybe Swami is trying to cleverly take the property. So Bhagwan, that's why I told Nagvani Purnaya not to come and stay in Vrindavan. Swami told, you be in your room, you be in your home, wherever you are in Bangalore. I will look after you at home. Swami said, don't worry. And Swami instructed Mrs. Ratanlal to visit Mrs. Nagvani Purnaya whenever Mrs. Ratanlal visited the city. And in fact, very often she used to go to her house in Bangalore and she would spend a lot of time with her. And Mrs. Nagvani Purnaya always loved talking about Bhagwan. Her eyes would be filled with tears listening to Bhagwan's stories about Swami. In fact, she needed a full-time nurse to look after her. Her son did not make all those arrangements, and Swami made all those arrangements. And there were occasions when, you know, she needed a proper cook. So Swami arranged all that. Swami also used to send taxi for her to come to Vrindavan, and whenever she came to Vrindavan, Swami would go to the car and Swami would talk to her for 15 minutes and then send her back. So Swami was looking after her entirely even though she was in the Bangalore city. In fact, Mrs. Ratanlal says there were two occasions when Swami was in Vrindavan for a short stay and Swami didn't send the taxi for her to come. She knew that Swami is in Vrindavan, but still she did not complain. She did not say, why Swami didn't send the car? Nothing. Nothing she mentioned when Ratanlal Amma went to meet her. Her only thing she used to ask Mr. Ratanlal is, please tell me, how is Swami? Did you make dahi vada for Swami? She had given a recipe for dahi vada and she used to ask Mr. Ratanlal, did you make the dahi vada for Swami? And Mr. Ratanlal would say, yes, I made that dahi vada. And then she would ask, why you didn't get that prasadam for me? You should have got a little bit for me. And then, you know, Mr. Ratanlal said that she had made this 3 days ago and, you know, it would get spoiled. Then she said, no, you should have kept it in the fridge. You should have brought that prasadam for me. And then Mr. Ratanlal said, don't worry, Amma, I will make specially for you. I'll make special dahi vada for you. But she said, no, what will I do with that dahi vada? What I want is Swami's prasadam. This is what... how her heart was all the time beating for Bhagwan. For 5 years, Mrs. Ratanlal looked after Mrs. Nagvani Purnaya. And never she complained about her condition. Mrs. Nagvani Purnaya, who has seen any number of people being cured by Swami, she never asked Swami anything for herself. She never prayed for herself. In fact, once Mrs. Ratanlal told Swami, I don't understand you. You have given eyes to someone. You have given life to someone else. You have resurrected people. You have saved that Mataji, Balbir Mataji, who was again a very respected devotee in those times from the royal family. Swami said, you extended her life by 20 years. Why are you not doing anything for Nagmani Amma's suffering? And Swami told Mrs. Ratanlal, it is her karma. She has to go through this. It is better that she goes through this while I am here. She is only thinking of me. Look at her state. She is only thinking of me. Why do you worry? But still Mrs. Ratanlal could not, you know, reconcile herself. She said, no, Swami, why can't you do something for her? And Swami just kept quiet. So this happened, and then a few days later, one day Swami had gone out for darshan and Swami did not return to his residence after darshan. Then Mrs. Ratanlal and Ms. Rama Brahmam, who used to look after Vrindavan Ashram, they realized that after the darshan, Swami got into a devotee's car and he had left Vrindavan. And Swami did not tell where he is going. No one knew where Bhagwan has gone. And Swami came back after a while, and then Swami said that Mrs. Nagvani Purnaya had passed away. She was alone in her room. Her son and daughter-in-law, no one was there. And Swami made and did all the arrangements to send the body for cremation. Only after everything was done, Bhagwan returned to Vrindavan. only in the afternoon at 3 p.m. Swami returned, and Mrs. Ratanlal saw that, you know, Swami's steps were very different. His walk was very different. Whenever Swami left, it would, that his gait would be, it would have a completely different rhythm. And Swami was saying, ho gaya, ho gaya, ho gaya. It's over. It's done. It's over. And because Swami was saying, ho gaya, ho gaya, Mrs. Ratanlal asked Swami, what happened? What happened? Then Swami narrated the whole story of how she had passed away and how he went and did all the arrangements. And then Mrs. Ratanlal asked, okay, Swami, will you have something now? And Swami said, none of you have had eaten? I said, okay, then I will eat something. And then Swami only asked for buttermilk, and he just had that buttermilk and retired to his room. And Mrs. Ratanlal was saying that, you know, everything that day, whatever Swami was doing, if you looked into Swami's eyes, you could see that he was so moved. He was so much touched by what had happened that day. Mrs. Nagmani Purnaya had merged into her, and Bhagwan went to be with her, to look after her, to ensure that her passage to the other world is smooth. When you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, He'll be there with you wherever you are, however you are. And the most important, in your last moment, He will be there to carry you. He will Himself take you on that journey towards eternal freedom. That is when our real bliss begins. When you lead a life where you think only about the Lord, you never think about what the Lord has done for me, but only think about what can I do for the Lord. That is the time, that is the kind of life that is filled with bliss. Even when you're undergoing suffering, suffering doesn't touch you. And once your time is up, the Lord carries you. The Lord all the time has you in His mind, because you have the Lord always in your mind. And that is where bliss begins. That is the bliss that all of us need to strive for. that was a lovely melody from those times, the times when Mrs. Nagmani Punya enjoyed with Bhagwan. There's another very beautiful story that again Mrs. Ratanlal was part of. Mukunda was a devotee from Bangalore. He had a business of saris, and Swami used to often get saris from him. And once Bhagwan told him that he would give him a child. In fact, for 20 years, Mukunda and his wife were childless, and they always had this desire for children, and they had performed many spiritual ceremonies, kept vows and gone on pilgrimages and so on, but nothing had happened. And one day, this Mr. Mukunda comes to Mrs. Ratanlal and says, you know, I have given up hope. I don't think we will have children. Now there is no chance because it was 20 years. And then Mrs. Ratanlal asked him, what is the matter? What did Swami tell you? He said, Swami said, I will give you a child. Did Swami specify a time? And Mukunda says, he didn't say anything, but Mrs. Ratanlal says, if he said that he'll give you a child, he will. Don't lose faith. Have faith. So this happened, this conversation happened in Puttaparthi, and then this couple went back to Bangalore, and they returned in 3 weeks. And during darshan time, when Swami was walking in front of Mrs. Mukunda, Swami just told her, take it easy, take it easy. She didn't understand what it meant, and so they both came back after the darshan, husband and wife, to Mr. Ratanlal and said, you know, why did Swami say that? What does he mean? So Mr. Ratanlal also did not know how to understand, how to fathom what Swami had said. And on their return to Bangalore, they went back and then they visited a doctor. And this doctor, when she checked Mukunda's wife, he said that she was pregnant. And after about 3 months in a conversation, Swami looked at Mrs. Ratanlal and said, hey, I have given Mukunda 2 children together, a daughter and a son. And Mrs. Ratanlal, after hearing this, she did not tell anything to Mukunda. 4 months passed, and then one Swami asked Mrs. Ratanlal to go to Chikpet in Bangalore to bring saris. Generally what used to happen in those days is Swami would ask Mukunda to bring the saris. Swami would just, Mrs. Ratanlal would telephone Mukunda and he would bring the saris for Bhagwan's selection. So that day Mrs. Ratanlal asked if she could ask Mukunda to do as it used to happen all the time. This is how Bhagwan always got saris. And because she also had to prepare Swami's dinner and there was no time for her to go to the city and come back. But Swami that day, for some reason, was insistent. Swami said, no, you go to the cities. You go to the city. His selections are not good. You go and select and bring the saris. And you don't worry about my dinner, Swami said. You don't worry about my dinner. Then immediately Mr. Ratanlal said, Swami, don't worry. The dinner will be ready on time. I will go and come back and do. Saris will come and dinner also will be ready. So she went to Chikpet and she finished the work. So when she was in Chikpet, you know, when she was talking to Mukunda, she suddenly asked, so have you got ultrasound done for your wife? What have you discovered? Is she going to have 1 or 2 babies? And the moment she asked this, Mukunda was shocked. She said, why are you saying this? Mukunda had learnt that, you know, there are 2 babies, and he had not told anybody about it in the family, not even the mother-in-law, not even his brother. And Mrs. Ratanlal asked, no, tell me, Mukunda, is it 1 or 2? And Mukunda kept quiet. And then Mrs. Ratanlal told, don't get worried. She is going to give birth to 1 boy and 1 girl. In her 3rd month of pregnancy itself, Swami had told me that he is giving you children once and for all. And that is exactly how it happened. Mukunda's wife had a normal delivery, and she gave birth to 2 beautiful children. So this is how Mrs. Ratanlal was witness to so many such instances. You know, what is recorded are perhaps just tiny, tiny sample in 40 years of serving Bhagwan and observing him and interacting with him at close quarters. There are so many such instances. In fact, there is another that comes to mind, which happened many years later, this perhaps after 2005. And One day she was working in Swami's kitchen, and Swami had already gone upstairs to his room. And there were a few dignitaries, who were dining with Swami. And after Swami had retired, they were just sitting and talking among themselves. And as they were doing that, Mrs. Ratnalal just heard someone say that, "What does Swami know about this? You know, one of the elders, he just happened to say this." And that was something that disturbed Mrs. Ratnalal, because, you know, she felt, how could someone say this? Sometimes, when you're living very closely with the physical form of the Lord, there is always this maya. You will get deluded with the human aspect of Bhagwan. You know, you might many times think that, oh, does he really know this? Because Swami asks many questions which seemingly shows that he doesn't know anything. So that is the kind of misconception, that is the kind of delusion that one falls into. And perhaps that is what had happened with one of the elders. And so that elders had said, "What does Swami know about this?" And Mrs. Ratnalal, that was very painful for Mrs. Ratnalal, but she kept quiet, and she continued to work in the kitchen. The next day, when Swami was again there in the dining hall, Swami suddenly asked for Mrs. Ratnalal. And generally she would not go into the dining hall if there were many guests. Only if there were students and a few guests, she would personally go. But Swami asked for her, and now she got a little tense, because generally, you know, Swami asked, could it be that, you know, she's done any mistake? Could it be that Swami wants to reprimand her? Even after staying with Bhagwan for so many years, she knew that you have to always be on your toes when it comes to Bhagwan. And she was a little apprehensive why Swami was calling her, but Swami was very insistent. Swami asked her, so she went there. And the moment she went to Bhagwan's presence, Swami said, "I'm going to narrate a very interesting story." All the elders were there, and Swami said, "At 4 a.m., Mrs. Ratnalal today went to the kitchen. Then she put water to boil on the fire for a cup of tea. And then, just then, she saw a cockroach. And the moment she saw the cockroach, she called Lakshmi, her help, you know, who helps in the kitchen. And she said, 'There is a cockroach. Lakshmi, don't kill the cockroach. You just take a towel and hold it and throw it outside.' And Swami said, 'Early in the morning, Lakshmi is chasing the cockroach and Mrs. Ratnalal is chasing, and they were on following her. It was like a big commotion in the kitchen that morning. And still they tried, but the cockroach escaped. They couldn't catch the cockroach, and it was already 20 minutes. It was 4:20. And then Ratnalal told Lakshmi, 'Lakshmi, it is already 4:20. I have to take tiffin for Bhagwan at 6 o'clock. Forget all that. You know, let's get back to work.' And in the meanwhile, you know, then they could never spot the cockroach. And that's all." Swami narrated the story, and then Swami looked at Mrs. Ratnalal and asked, "Tell me, is it not what happened today? Is it not exactly how it happened today?" And she was surprised, and she just folded her hands, and, you know, she bowed down. And Swami said, "Why are you surprised? You tell no that I am Antaryami. Why are you surprised?" And then Swami left. After Bhagwan left, that is when it struck to Mrs. Ratnalal what was happening the other day. And then she told the dignitaries, the elders sitting there, that maybe there is something more to what has happened today. Maybe there is something that Swami is trying to communicate to all of us today. Many times we think he doesn't know, but he knows. He knows much, much more than what we ever can even imagine. He knows more about ourselves than what we know about ourselves. She said, "He knows what we are thinking, what we are doing. We have to be always careful." So there are so many such instances. You know, there are these moments when Swami took to drive home very, very important revealing moments with the Lord. And living with God is true education, as Swami has always said. Every day the Lord is reinforcing this education. He is testing your faith. He is ensuring that, you know, if you have done a mistake, He is ensuring that you don't repeat them. Every day He is checking if you are progressing on the spiritual path. And Mrs. Ratnalal is someone Swami personally corrected, personally chiseled, personally shaped, as a beautiful instrument, and gave the chance of living in close physical proximity for over 40 years. And that is why, you know, anytime if you just speak to Mrs. Ratanlal. It was such an enlightening experience. She became the pillar of support for so many. She was the one who guided hundreds of students and elders when they were shaky in their faith, when they're not confident of doing what Bhagwan had asked them to do. In 2007, something interesting happened. For some reason, Swami wanted a devoted couple from Bangalore to make the most of the chance of learning from Mrs. Ratanlal. And this chosen couple was Mr. and Mrs. Vinay Kumar from Bangalore. And the way it happened is so beautiful. In fact, why this happened, we have no clue. Was it for because Swami wanted Mr. Vinay Kumar to learn so much from Mrs. Ratanlal, or Swami wanted Mrs. Ratanlal to have the support of Vinay Kumar, or Swami wanted Mrs. Vinay Kumar to be shaped as a better instrument? Well, we have no clue. And we will never have any idea about why he did what he did. But what we know is he did it, and he did it so wonderfully. And thanks to this association, today we have so much more we know about Mrs. Ratanlal, and Mr. Vinay Kumar is a different person today. It was one of those afternoons when Swami suddenly shocked Vinay Kumar by asking him, "Where do you have your lunch in Puttaparthi whenever you come?" This is perhaps sometime in 2007. And, you know, in those days, Vinay Kumar was the Karnataka youth leader. He would always have a lot of work in the ashram. So if you used to get late, he would go and have food in the canteen, in the hotels outside. So he said, "Swami, if it gets late, then you know I have it in one of the places outside." And Swami kept quiet. Then after a couple of days, again Swami asked, "Where did you eat yesterday?" You know, this was another trip. And he said, "Swami, I got late finishing up the different work that I had to do. So, you know, both of us went out and we had." Then Swami said, "But why are you not able to have the food in the canteens? Why don't you come in time and have the food here? There are so many canteens available here for your food." And then he explained, "Swami, many times the work gets delayed and I'm all the time running around, and the canteen has its stipulated timings, and if I cannot make it, then I have to go out." So all that he said, and Swami said, "But don't eat outside." Swami said, "You must try to eat inside the ashram." And then it is not as if the food outside is not good or anything, but Swami preferred that, you know, people eat inside the ashram. And perhaps because of the purity of the food and the way it is made and so on. And then suddenly Swami looked at Vinay Kumar and said, "Okay, from now on, you eat in the house of Amma." And he wondered, which Amma? Who is this Amma Swami is referring to? And then Swami said, "Mrs. Ratanlal." And the moment Swami mentioned that, I mean, Mr. Vinay Kumar knew about Mr. Ratanlal because he's also from Vrindavan, and he has seen how Mrs. Ratanlal has served Swami, especially when Bhagwan went to Kodaikanal or when Swami is in Vrindavan. So she has played such a great role in everything that happened in Kodaikanal and Vrindavan. So she knew Mr. Ratanlal, but she had never interacted with her much, and she had great admiration for Mr. Ratanlal. So he said, "Swami, but I have never interacted with her. You know, I don't know her." Swami said, "It's okay. You go and talk to her." And that's where the conversation in the interview room ended. And now, you know, Mr. Vinay Kumar didn't know how to really approach Swami. I mean, how do you go and tell someone that, you know, you have to cook food for me? You know, I'm going to have food in your house. So he was constantly, you know, not able to decide how to go about it. And so, you know, they didn't have really guts to go and, you know, knock the door at Mrs. Ratanlal's house and say that, you know, you have to be serving food to us. So it was just, they just let it be for some time. A couple of visits went this way. Then after 2-3 visits, again one afternoon, Swami came in for darshan, and Swami asked Mr. Vinay Kumar to come near the car. And then Swami now very emphatically said, "Do you need a Purna Kumbham for someone to invite you and give you food? Do you want an elaborate ritual for someone to come and invite you and give you food?" And Mr. Vinay Kumar was now taken aback. You know, Swami was saying that, you know, I have told you to go and have food there, you know, why are you waiting for her to, you know, invite you with elaborate ceremonies? And then Mr. Vinay Kumar just kept quiet. And then Swami said, okay, I will tell her. And that was the mercy of the Lord, you know. Swami said, okay, I will tell her and make it easy for you. And that evening, when Bhagwan was returning to Yajur Mandir, Swami stopped there at that Granth Hall gate, and Swami called Ratanlal Lama. Mr. Vinay Kumar could see that Swami was telling her something, and he had no idea what, but he did see that Swami talked to her. And after that, interestingly, a friend of Mr. Vinay Kumar was going to Mr. Ratanlal's house to pay respects to her, and then suddenly he asked, would you like to come? And it all just fell in place. And, you know, Vinay Kumar said, yes, exactly. I want to go and see her. I have to see her. And so that's when he went for the first time into Mr. Ratanlal Amma's room in Prashantinilayam. And as soon as he went in, and he just said, auntie, and that is it. Oh, Mr. Ratanlal said, oh, you are Vinay Kumar. Come, sir. Please come. You know, this way Swami would invite. That's how she started talking to her, inviting her, and immediately, you know, Vinay Kumar fell at her feet, and then Ratanlal Lama said, you know, I have been trying to reach out to you because Swami specifically has told me to look after your food. He has asked me that you should be having food at my place whenever you are in Puttaparthi. And Swami said, oh, achha khata hai. He eats very well. He's from Bangalore. Swami had told all that to me. And now Mr. Ratanlal is asking, so you tell me, what do you eat? What do you like? Where are you from? You know, tell me more. So that is how the conversation started between Vinay Kumar and Mrs. Ratanlal. And the connection happened, and they felt like they knew each other for years and for janmas. I mean, that is how suddenly that connect was so strong. And from then on, every time till the very end, till the time she was alive, Mr. Vinay Kumar always had food in Mr. Ratanlal's house, and was immensely benefited from the numerous interactions that he had the chance to listen to from Mrs. Ratanlal. You know, every time he came to Prashantinilayam, he would spend so much time with her, and there was not a single occasion, you know, when these interactions didn't leave him with such profound lessons. And every time her love, her care would be the same. And many times, whatever they would have discussed in the room with auntie, Swami would be talking about it next day in the interview room. In fact, on one occasion, you know, as soon as they go to auntie's place, she would sit on the chair, and, you know, there would be a picture of Bhagwan which is there next to her chair, and she would look at that picture, and then suddenly she would remember some beautiful instance that she would have experienced with Swami. You know, wisdom will just flow through beautiful instances. And Mr. Vinay Kumar learned so much from her about how to do things for Swami, how to execute the word given by Swami, how to actually relate to what Swami says, how to understand his instructions. You know, coming from a veteran like Mrs. Ratanlal was so immensely beneficial for Vinay Kumar as he was now executing Bhagwan's task. Because sometimes Swami would say many things and he was not able to decipher, and auntie would give the right interpretation. And in fact, she would go on to tell all the stories about how she set up the Sanatan Sarthi Press, and how Swami, you know, the Vrindavan College came up, the Vrindavan Ashram, all the stories she would start telling. And in fact, and she would then look at the picture of Bhagwan which is there next to her and say, Swami, Swami to abhi bhi sun rahe hain. Swami is listening. As I'm telling you, Swami is listening. I mean, she would have this conviction that Swami is listening. Swami is listening to everything that we are talking. And one afternoon, in fact, they were talking about faith and activity and devotion and all this. Then suddenly, Mr. Vinay Kumar asked something, and it became sort of a friendly argument. You know, auntie was saying something and Vinay Kumar was saying, no, perhaps auntie, this has to happen first before that can happen, and so on. And that day, when Mr. Vinay Kumar went later to Bhagwan in the interview room, Swami said, why did you argue with her? When she was saying this, you should have just agreed. Whatever she says is correct, Swami said. Don't argue with her. So this is the lesson that Bhagwan was imparting to Vinay Kumar through Mrs. Ratnalal. And even as that was happening, he was constantly monitoring, was constantly seeing if all the lessons are going into Vinay Kumar's heart in the right manner. As we say, he's the silent listener at every conversation in our home. And here it was happening, literally Bhagwan was letting him know that how he knows about everything. In fact, in 2007, there was the World Youth Conference, and Swami blessed the Karnataka team to make all the food arrangements for the 4,000 delegates who were to assemble in Prashanthi Nilayam. And it was a big spread for 3 days or something. And Swami gave very little time actually for the Karnataka youth to organize the food for this entire event. And they had just only a week to get prepared for this. And since there were delegates coming not only from India, all states of India, but from all over the world, so a lot of planning had to go into serving food, preparing food, and the main thing was, first you have to decide the menu. And now Mr. Vinay Kumar ran to Auntie again, who else? And you know, what is the kind of menu that Swami would have in mind for the youth? Because she is someone who has cooked for the students at Mandavan, for Bhagwan students for years. And she was spot on. She said, okay, don't worry, Swami has given you the instructions, I will help you. And you know, she immediately wrote down a list of the entire menu. It was a beautiful mix of continental Indian and all kinds of dishes, including ice creams. And now she also said how pistachio has to be put in the ice cream and all that. So it was very detailed list. And now she said, okay, you take this and you go to Bhagwan. You tell him this is the menu and see if he approves. So, you know, it was, Mr. Vinay Kumar says that, you know, her thing was, okay, we have done this, but we have to get Swami's approval. So, Mr. Vinay Kumar went to Bhagwan and showed the menu, and he said, Swami, I spoke to Ratnalal Amma, and that is how we have made this menu. And the moment Swami heard that, Swami said, oh, is it? I said, okay. Then, if she has given it to you, then it's okay. I don't need to see it. If Ratnalal Amma has done the menu for you, then it is okay. I don't have to check it. I mean, this is what, imagine the confidence that Bhagwan had in Mrs. Ratnalal. And in fact, when Vinay Kumar went and told Ratnalal Amma, she was in tears. She said, at least Swami should have seen. I just simply wrote whatever came to my mind. Swami should have seen. Why did you do this? And she did not stop there. You know, it was Vinay Kumar's responsibility to arrange all the food, but she would want to go to the kitchen and she would check everything. She would check the how the vegetables are cut, how the cooking area is, how the chapatis are being made, and how the ice cream is being prepared. Everything she would check. I mean, that is the single-pointedness when it comes to converting any work that is for the Lord into devotion. Every action just becomes a devotion. And it is for my Lord. Whoever does it doesn't matter. It has to be perfect. It has to be proper. Even if that work is not assigned to me, but it is a work which is for my Lord, and I should do everything in my capacity to ensure that the work happens well. I mean, this is from someone, you know, whose life was nothing but a saga of servitude to Bhagwan. That was her seva. That was her ananda. That was her life. That was her goal. There are so many very, very beautiful instances like this from the life of Ratnalal Amma and these her association with Vinay Kumar. In fact, he would later on even visit Vinay Kumar's house in the city, and you know, for lunch or dinner. And every time she went, she would be constantly teaching them lessons. She would tell them about proper living, how to cook, how to serve, how the table should be laid out. And they would say, you know, Auntie, it might be difficult for you to climb upstairs. But she would say, no problem, I will climb, no problem, you don't worry about me. and she would go and she would say how everything has to be done as per paddhati. She would use this word paddhati because Swami is very particular about everything should happen in a particular way, in a particular tradition. And she was very deeply rooted in Indian culture, very broad-minded and adjustable to anything, all circumstances, but she was rooted to Indian culture. And she would constantly guide Mrs. Vinay Kumar about how one should conform to the traditions, and when you serve, what should be served where should the sweet be kept on the plate, what should be served first, and how one should serve. Everything that she did, it was a continuous pursuit to connect with God. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, it becomes a puja when you do it in the right manner. When you constantly do thinking how Swami will want it, how Swami will like it. That is what Mr. Vinay Kumar learnt from Mrs. Ratan Lal. In fact, even there were so many occasions, you know, every time Mr. Vinay Kumar came to Prashanthi Nilayam, first thing he would do is go to her room before Swami's darshan. If he came first, he would go to her room and he would see that, you know, she would be lost in puja. She would be doing her elaborate puja, and only after she finishes the puja, you know, he would prostrate, do namaskar and go for darshan. And every time before leaving Prashanthi Nilayam, again he would go and take namaskar from her. And this is a practice that continued till the end. The connect that Swami established between them was so strong. It was something that perhaps for reasons unknown to all of us, Swami established. And this, through that, there were so many lessons that Mr. Vinay Kumar learned from her. You know, on the days when he'd go in the morning, for 45 minutes, she would just be lost in the puja room. She would not have any idea of who is there. Vinay Kumar would be waiting for an hour. And he would see how there would be just tears in her eyes. She would be lost in ecstasy doing the puja. Every flower that was being offered to Swami, there would be tears rolling down her cheeks. I mean, even after living with Bhagwan for 40, 50 years, it was like the devotion was as fresh as it was 40 years ago. The same intensity, the same amount of deep love for Bhagwan, that same bhava to connect to Bhagwan. That is what Vinay Kumar says that she saw in her. In fact, on one occasion, you know, there were so many lessons that he learned. When Mrs. Ratan Lal saw that someone mentioned something at the dining table which was not appropriate, and she could not bear it, actually, how could that person say this? And she felt that, you know, that person was not conducting in the right manner, and she could not contain this, and she went to Swami and said, Swami, how could that person say this? And Swami said, why are you getting worried? Swami said, that person is adding to his own karma. Do you think I don't know? So that was a lesson. She says, Bhagwan to sab jante hai. He knows everything. He knows the past, he knows the present, he knows the future. And you are thinking, why Swami is not taking incorrectly measured if Swami knows? But Swami says, why are you getting worried? That person is getting adding on to his karma. It will all come back. Karma will look after everything. You know, if we think that we can do whatever and get away with it, we are only being a fool. We are not being cool. We are being fool. Because karma is there. Destiny is there. Everything will be taken care of. In fact, after Bhagwan said this, Mrs. Ratan Lal, from that day, she never found fault with anyone. She never was worried because, you know, you have the chance to be with Swami. You have the chance to work for Swami. And if you misuse it, if you do anything that's contrary to what Swami would want, then it is up to your karma. She never, from that day, never would tell anything to Swami about anyone. And this was a great lesson for Vinay Kumar, that, you know, when you work with Swami, you don't see others' faults. You see what you can do. You see what you are practicing. You see what you are learning. And you see how you can be a better instrument. It is none of your business to know what the other person did right or wrong and report them to Swami. And whenever, you know, even if there were small health issues with her, she would never tell Swami. She would say, oh, this is a choti baat, ye to choti baat hai. You know, why should bother Swami with my illnesses? You know, take some medicine, take some antibiotics, whatever is needed, take some medicines. And, you know, she said, why do you have to pray to Swami for your silly things? Don't miss the chance. Why trouble Swami with your pity things about your body? The body has to anyway one day go. Let us take care of it in our way. You know, if we can take care of the body by taking some medicines, fine, let's just do it. Let's keep ourselves fit so that we can go on serving Swami. Let us not bother Swami with our petty problems. You know, so she was someone who felt that I will do whatever is needed so that I am fit. I will not bother Swami so that I can work for Swami, so that I can all still, you know, I should be able to do all the things myself. I should be able to go to the kitchen and look after myself, and I should be able to make things for Swami. I should be able to work for Swami. I will not go to Swami and say, Swami, I have done all this for you. You please look after me. She was not that kind. So she always wanted to be someone who was independent. She would do everything herself. She would pick up her plate. She would serve. Even at the ripe age of 80, whenever Mr. Vinay Kumar used to go to her room, she would serve him himself. She would say, Swami, whenever Vinay Kumar used to ask, Auntie, Swami se kya puche? What did you ever ask Swami? She would say, kuch nahi. Don't ask Swami anything. Ask only for bhakti. Sirf bhakti pucho. Ask only for devotion. Because, you know, if anybody can give you devotion, it is only him. And if you have devotion, then there is nothing else that you need. Life just becomes a smooth flow. In fact, this is the lesson that she gave to Vinay Kumar, that there is no need to ask Swami for anything else. Only you should ask that your life should become a devotional offering till the end. In fact, you know, in those days, whoever wrote a book on Bhagwan, they would go and give it to Ratnalal Amma in the years 2012, 13, 14. And the moment she would start reading, there would be tears in his eyes. She would just be lost thinking about Bhagwan, thinking about how much Bhagwan has done for all of us. And she was someone, she never was in the public eye. She would always be behind. She never did anything for any applaud, any praise, any compliment from anyone else. In fact, the way she used to conduct during Ladies' Day celebrations on November 19th, that used to be such an exemplary behavior. In fact, that perhaps that was the only day people would see her come out onto the stage, because Swami would insist that she should come, and perhaps she and you know, she would sit on the stage with the other ladies in the, and you know, she would be in the procession, but otherwise she would never ever come into the front. She had always loved to be behind the scene and do everything that would make the festival smooth, that would make Swami happy, that would make the devotees happy, and that would make Swami comfortable. This is what is the life of Mrs. Ratnalal. In fact, there are many other stories about her last moments, stories about how it was when Bhagwan left his mortal coil. How did she take that? And after that, how did she live the rest of the years till she breathed her last in 2017? How did, from 2011 to 2017, how were those years with her? And how was the last moment when she merged with the Lord? So we'll perhaps in another one or two episodes, we'll conclude this story on Mrs. Ratnalal. And there is so much that one has to learn from her life, and perhaps by Swami's grace, I'll share with you those two, three very, very significant episodes from her life about Bhagwan's last earthly last moments and her last moments, and that is what we will take up in the coming episodes of this series on Mrs. Ratan Lal, A Diamond of a Devotee. And parallelly, we will also do the story of Vrindavan, that we are celebrating the Golden Jubilee of the Vrindavan campus from 1969 that Swami established till 2019. And we will have also sessions on that in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us on this beautiful journey where we're recounting this. Nothing more precious than recounting the lives of the devotees who have lived with Bhagwan. You know, we learn from Bhagwan. We learn from the devotees who lived with Bhagwan. That is what is Bhagavatam. In fact, what else is Bhagavatam? It is the stories of the devotees of the Lord. In fact, Swami says that if you want to know how to come closer to God, if you want to spend time reading books, then read only the lives of saints. Read only the lives of those people who walked on that path, because they will inspire you. You, when you hear their life, you will know how it is, and you will be able to draw parallels between what is happening in your life. They will inspire you, they will guide you, and ultimately Bhagwan will hold your hand. But these people will can help you to throw light on how you should go on this path, how you should march on this path. So it's really a very, very blissful journey for me, and I hope it is something that you are enjoying too, as we are discussing the life of Mrs. Ratan Lal, the Diamond of a Devotee. Dear listeners, if you have any anecdotes about her, if you have read anything more about her, please feel free to share. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. If you want to write anything personally to me, you can write to Bishu, B-I-S-H-U, @radiosai.org. With immense gratitude at his lotus feet, I offer this episode at his lotus feet. Thank you so much. Saram.
Satyamu, Nityamu, Satyamu, Sai Mahima Satyamu.